The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today. Brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglin, the home of quality.
Yeah, David O'Sullivan, DC Energy Solutions. David, look, it's tough times for many. A lot of people are concerned. We're going to try and provide some answers for them this morning, as we have been doing over the last number of months now on the programme. But look, it is a time when everybody is feeling the pain and looking around at how they heat their homes, I suppose.
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning, listeners. Yeah, exactly that. I think this is a conversation that, you know, it's an ongoing one, an evolving one, and we're going to have to change with it. I mean, Jerry, where do we start with this one? From the price hikes that have been announced with electrical supply companies, even that last comment from the last listener that stated that their bed and breakfast and pub, the cost of their electricity rising as much as it is. The daily grind that's going to be faced for the winter time and power cuts, etc., the rumour mill of all of that. I suppose, look, I'm going to echo words that you've been talking about all morning, and one of them is James Murphy from Bill Genie. I mean, fantastic situation there. Like, that's the starting point for homeowners. You know, be vigilant about what you spend on what your supply is, and using the services that he'll provide and the services that other companies provide. That's a key to the success of how we can save money for the future. But then it revolves into what I suppose we always talk about, you and I, in this situation, which is how we can, I suppose, more efficiently run our homes then. If we're saving money with electricity, then we need to be saving money with how we run the home. Oil, gas, you know, boilers being banned from 2023, 2025. What a huge statement. What a massive statement. But I think we've known about this for several years, and you and I talked about it a few years ago.
Yeah,
it's now happening.
Yeah.
It was coming, and it's now happening. And I suppose a lot of people are prepared. A lot of people have made the changes. The SEAI have provided grant funding towards a lot of these changes. You said it yourself earlier. I mean, with the changes being enforced, hopefully we can force that there should be a change as well in the amount of funding. Now, the SEI came to the table this year and provided that.
Yeah, and the pressure will be on, and we'll know a lot more this time next month with the budget and what they're saying. They'll be under increased pressure. If they expect people to change their boilers or not to have them in the first place, then I'd imagine they'll have to give serious help to it, and hopefully that will happen. We'll get on to the questions, David. There's a good few comments coming into us here. A listener asks, first of all, good morning. Can you ask the heat doctor? I'm thinking of going over to a heat pump system next year, but what's the average cost in euros of the amount of electricity they use per month? I don't know if you have the specifics on that, but I suppose the savings is what the person is looking at as well, David.
Yeah, exactly that, Jerry. I suppose having the cost of the running of a heat pump is individual to every dwelling. I suppose you have to take into account the occupancy level of the house, the hot water demand, the size of the house, the heat demand for the house, and I suppose after that, what insulation is in place. To briefly discuss this in relation to grants available, there's up to €6,000 available for a heat pump for a house. That's a very, very large chunk of change, I suppose, and it does help with the install costs.
Yeah.
Is the house ready for this? Is the house suitable for plugging out the oil boiler and plugging in the heat pump? It's not as simple as plugging it in, but I suppose that's the description we'll give. And I suppose then after that, you know, the running costs. Any oil boiler that's costing a set amount, a heat pump can run up to 35% less than that cost, depending on, again, the style of house.
Yeah.
There's a lot of variables to put into that, and I suppose for that homeowner, they should start with a technical assessment. A technical assessment will get them on the road to where they need to be to make sure their house is suitable for a heat pump and to make sure that they can qualify for the grant for that heat pump install.
Yeah, okay, another query in here. Smart meters in relation to a heating pump. In extremely cold weather, would smart meters make your heating costs very expensive? No, how many times do we have extremely cold weather in this country? Not that often, but anyway, have you a view on that, David?
Yeah, I suppose, look, the variables in temperature, and I suppose the extremes, Jerry, and here, this is tipping on something environmental, that we are experiencing more extremes, but more frequently and less often than what we did before. So I suppose, you know, consciously making the decision to change to the heat pump is an environmental decision as well as an economical decision.
Yeah.
But I suppose, yes, the purpose of the smart meters, from my view on it, is quite simply to give you the information to make you run your house more efficiently. So if you have information in your hand that tells you that at a certain period in a day, because of the cheaper rates, because of the not on peak times and less peak times, that you should heat your water, for example. So instead of having the time clock set for the 2 hours in the morning and the 2 hours in the evening, that you should have a hot water storage and that would be more efficient. That's not the case in every house, don't get me wrong, but I suppose here what the smart meter is going to do is give you the information in order to work and to make sure that you have the most economical usage of your heating system. So a heat pump then, if it's going to work in the off-peak time to store water, then it's going to be working more efficiently because it's costing you less to do that. It ultimately is using electricity. It's not using any fossil fuels. So I suppose, you know, there's a further conversation about that. But I suppose here, the answer to that homeowner is it won't make it more expensive, but it will give them the information to make the decision on how to run the system.
Okay. All right. That's a fair point on that. Jerry, my two-year-old boiler has not been serviced as of yet. It's malfunctioning at the moment. The plumber couldn't sort it. He said it should be serviced and that would sort it. Does that make sense?
It doesn't make sense is the direct answer I'm going to give, and I'm not going to say that anything has been done wrong here, but I suppose the supply company for this boiler should be made aware of any situation. I mean, this is a combustible
appliance. 2 years old.
If there's an issue, exactly, 2 years old, it's a warranty situation. So at the time of install, the warranty would have been issued with the installation of the boiler, and I suppose it's up to the supply company of that boiler now to come back to the party and to make sure that they can provide the parts that are required and make sure that it's a working system. I mean, the homeowner has paid for this. They should be getting what they need.
Yeah.
Servicing the boiler to fix it does not make sense to me.
Yeah, certainly not. And the warranty should be the first thing looked at there. Another listener asks, what's the best way to upgrade the heating in an apartment with a D2 BER? Now, this is complex because, first of all, we don't know what they're using at the moment. And secondly, it's an apartment. So would you have to, if you're in an apartment block, would there be implications there about how the whole block is heated and what they use?
Yeah, this is, I suppose, there's a couple of, I suppose, immediate points we'd make here. You know, I mean, we have fire situations that we have to comply with. If it's a ground floor, second floor apartment, there's consideration for the apartments surrounding the building. There is permission to be sought, obviously, if it's a group of apartments. And just like you said there, Jerry, there may be a situation where there could be grants provided for the entire dwelling. So if it's an entire dwelling and it's privately owned, privately occupied, there is grants available through the SEI where that entire building could be able to avail of all the measures that are available to any domestic house to upgrade their apartment. In this circumstance, if they're ticking all those boxes and they're entitled to upgrade their apartment without any permission from anyone else, then I suppose there's two keys here. We always talk about, Jerry, insulation, ventilation, but also the heating system. So I suppose our drive is here for heat pumps and for electric heating. But I suppose like with most apartments, they already have, an older form of electric heating, which is the storage heaters and panel heaters. I think we talked about infrared heaters in the last show. So I suppose, look, there's a lot of options for this homeowner, but I suppose they just need to figure out that what work they carry out, they can do that first and comply with the regulations of the building. And after that, I mean, feel free to contact us. We'll help them in every way we can.
Okay. Question for the heat doctor. I installed new windows and doors. How do I go about getting credits off my electricity bill? That is all I'm entitled to get as far as I know, says a Killarney listener.
Yes, so the credit scheme changed this year. We're a provider of the carbon credit scheme, energy incentive scheme through Electric Ireland. There's been a few changes to that. Unfortunately, I suppose I'm not going to talk in detail with it, but for that homeowner, if they contact us, we'll be able to help them as much as we can. There's some criteria that has changed this year for the carbon credit scheme, as we call it, the energy incentive scheme, that homeowners have to meet certain uplifts in their kilowattage reduction, which means, Jerry, I suppose their carbon reduction is meeting a certain level.
Yeah.
So look, if that owner wants to contact me, I'll give them the information direct.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, David, stay with us. We're going to talk more queries and questions to get to from the Heat Doctor, David O'Sullivan of DC Energy Solutions. We'll get to more with him after we take these.
The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today, brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglan, the home of quality.
Yes, indeed. David O'Sullivan, DC Energy Solutions, with us on the line. Couple of queries coming in here. Someone is asking for the benefits of a wood pellet boiler. Someone yesterday kind of contacted the program about this, saying that they were making hay at the moment because wood pellet prices hadn't gone up in comparison to other sources of fuel, David. So are there benefits there?
There's definitely benefits to this, Jerry, and there's quite an array of products available. I mean, talk to the professionals there in Boyles Hardware, they'll give you all the information on it. But I suppose, yes, it's a good form of heating your house. There's different size appliances. Again, they have to be sized accordingly to the dwelling, which then, I suppose, leads to the efficiency of them. And I guess, look, it's different in every house. Again, we keep saying that, but I suppose they are a fantastic source of heat, classed as renewable. The wood pellets are not gone up in price, like you just said, and I suppose they are readily available. There's different storage forms of it. There's some fantastic controls available for these appliances, quite similar to, I suppose, the boilers we've all been used to, where you can program them to start and do what you want in the times that you want to do it in. So yes, they are a fantastic form of heating and they are available.
All right, another listener gets in touch, says they have wood floor, a Fianna caller, wood floor in his sitting room and in the hallway. They're over 20 years and now gaps are between the wall and between some planks. Caller asks, would it be okay for him to put in clear silicone to block the breeze that sometimes comes through the gaps?
Yeah, this is a good one, Jerry, I suppose, because this is a common occurrence in a lot of our houses. We said it earlier about temperature variables. Floors and timber in its natural form is going to expand and contract. So I suppose filling these gaps with silicone might not be the most suitable solution to this. We have a house that we're looking at the moment where we're going to be able to get under the floor, which might not be applicable in this homeowner's situation, and install some spray foam under the floor, which again is a breathable product, can be installed to make sure that there's breathability for the floor and for the longevity of the timber. But I suppose to this homeowner, the direct answer is I would be slow to do that. Yeah. It may be there a long time, but it still may be in a moving situation where filling the gaps could lead to the floor cupping or indeed moving more dramatically.
Yeah, okay, so needs to be very careful, perhaps to consider or think about getting the floor replaced or going with another option, perhaps rather than the stopgap, which may make it worse.
Absolutely, there's so many different options with replacing the floors. It's an ideal opportunity again here to assess the entire house before making that expenditure and having the same situation in the future. I mean, there's ways of installing so many different heating systems with flooring that this may be an option to upgrade for that homeowner.
Okay, listener has an oil range heating in a 40-year-old bungalow. There seems to be a lot of leaks underground. What would he suggest doing?
Oh, well, for starters, the oil range, unfortunately, one of the most inefficient heating systems in certain ways, now being surpassed by so many more efficient systems. With a lot of leaks like that, it's going to take an assessment and I suppose a pressure test on the pipework to see where these leaks are, how many more leaks may occur. But I suppose the age of the pipework comes into effect here, where we're at a stage where it just needs to be replaced, Jerry. But I guess for this homeowner, that may sound like a scary statement, but there's ways of installing new pipework and new heating systems without removing floors. That's a common question we get all the time, was you're talking about replacing my heating, but I don't want to dig up my floors. We don't have to. We don't have to remove your floors. We don't have to alter anything on the floors in a lot of circumstances. There's ways of installing heating systems by hiding pipework in certain areas, by putting pipework from attics down, that will make the house work as efficiently as a new system.
Okay, boiler is gone in another caller's stove. Can she replace the boiler without having to purchase a new stove?
It depends on the make and model, and I suppose the direct answer here is yes. Most and all boilers should have the burners, the capability of having the burners interchanged in them. Most important here is that it's like for like. Make sure it's the same model and series number. Take a photo of it, bring it to Boils. They'll be able to provide something, hopefully. But I guess here is, yes, that can be replaced without replacing the boiler.
Yeah, okay. Another listener, so good morning. Just asking about the new ESB smart meter. I know nothing about computers and have received a letter saying my meter is on the way. Can it be put in and run the same as what I have now? What happens if it breaks down? Who fixes it? Worried, should I not put it in, says a Tralee listener. And they say they won't plug out Radio Kerry, they'll be lost without it. Well, that's good to hear anyway. But the smart meter, if it breaks down, who's responsible?
Well, I suppose the direct answer to that, no, we definitely don't want to plug out Radio Kerry. No. I mean, I got a text in the ad there, Jerry, that said Jerry O'Sullivan to present the Late Late Show next year.
That's No. I'll take the salary.
But I suppose, look, for this homeowner, yeah, it is a worrying time when someone contacts you and they're going to do this. I suppose key here is any of the companies that are contacting you are working on behalf of Electric Ireland or the supply company for your meter. This meter is their responsibility to change safely and to change correctly, and it has to operate that way. They're providing meters that are operating safely for the future, and they're providing meters that are working safely in your house. Ultimately, for you, it should have no change other than, like our first statement at the start, Jerry, of giving you more information, giving you the information to make sure that you can make the decisions on how you run your house. But yeah, for that one, I suppose, I guess the best thing is we'll install them correctly.
Okay, all right, that's a fair point there in relation to that. Okay, another listener getting in touch with us in relation to other issues with regards to heating systems and making the change. Look, David, the overall question, I suppose, someone says, like, you know, how long will these things take to bring in? I suppose, how long is a piece of string? How long can you get a workman in? We're heading into winter now, so there are people looking, there might be an element of some people panicking, saying, I need to change over to solar tomorrow morning, or I need to do this tomorrow morning. It's, I suppose it's important really to, and I'll give you an example from one of our listeners. They're thinking of going over to a heat pump system. How long will this take? It's not to panic and not to get overly concerned with all the bad news that we're getting. You can start on the road and figure out your way along to try and get to a better place, is the key message.
Yeah, I think I'll take this opportunity to, I suppose, apologise, but also thank our loyal customers who have the patience to wait for us. And it's a common occurrence throughout the trades at the moment, Jerry. We're all aware of the lack of skilled workforce that we have in this country. And I mean, it's an international issue. But I suppose, look, ultimately here, starting the journey, I mean, it starts in certain ways, either a BER, a technical assessment, or an assessment by a skilled worker that knows what they're talking about, come into your house and give you advice. Using that advice, and I suppose using the grants that are available, we always talk about the grants. The SEEI are providing funding for a lot of the upgrades that you want to participate in. We work in hand with Electric Ireland Superhomes, which provide up to 35% funding for dramatic or retrofit upgrades, more I suppose in-depth upgrades to your house. Now, I know I can speak for myself that there is a bit of a backlog with them at the moment. They're trying to get through all the applications that are in front of them, and I suppose I would encourage people to just have the patience, and I suppose have the patience with the providers and with the suppliers and with the installers. But for a homeowner that's thinking of changing to a heat pump, I mean, yes, but it's not as immediate as just pick one off the shelf, plug it in, and away we go. There's a technical assessment to carry out to make sure they qualify for the grant, to make sure the house is suitable to have a heat pump installed. And I suppose after that, there may be a delay because of the lack of material or the waiting time for the heat pump that has to be ordered. So I suppose patience is key here, Jerry. And I know that's a very easy statement to make in a very difficult time when we're facing the increase in costs that we're all facing. You and I are facing these increasing costs in our own houses. And I mean, I'm looking at the ban on installing gas and oil boilers, some of the comments that have been made there with regards to communal heating systems. I think if you and I had a communal system between our two houses, it'd be well cold by the time we get to both of them. So I suppose, look, we have to look at this as an overall.
Yeah,
we have to have a look at it domestically and make sure that we'll
continue to do that here and try and help listeners through it as well. David, just a final reminder, that Dear to Watch and Talk About, we'll be talking about cutting, how you can cut your energy usage this winter. That's coming up at 1:30, so tune into that. It's going to be very informative this afternoon on Talk About. And David, you've got the Glenbey races. I'm being told by a family member of yours, I think, that you've the longest serving presidency. And they want to remind you of that for fear people would forget.
Oh, there's no fear of anyone forgetting, Jerry. I've got it written on my number plates and I've got it written on my T-shirts and things like that. By default, the longest running president. But I suppose what I'd love to do is just wish the races every success this weekend. 3:00 Saturday, 3:30 Sunday. Tonight, we've got the picking of the Festival Queen, the handover of the inauguration of the new president, Tom Cronin, a long-standing member of the community, well involved with the races. But I suppose ultimately what I'm saying here, Jerry, is get to Glenbey. Don't let the weather dissuade you. Don't look at the weather reports. Don't look at that. Dress appropriately and come along and enjoy it, okay?
Brilliant. Okay, David, thanks a million.